good morning to everybody. It's good to see everyone out. It's always good to see John and his clan here from the People's Republic of Austin. It's awful good to see Kia here this morning, too. Welcome. I'm glad you're back. Good to see everybody else here. It's just another wonderful day in San Angelo, Texas, about the only way to say it. This morning's lesson, my assignment today, is submitting to authority. And this is a very interesting study. Kind of goes against the grain of human nature. But it's a commandment of God. It's very important, and God takes this very seriously. So we're going to talk for a while about submitting to authority. My introduction is a little bit longer, but I'm going to try and take it off on the other end. I'd like to start off with three verses that will kind of give us an idea of what submitting to authority is. One of them is Acts 12 and 20. It says, was Herod, that Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to one accord with him, and having made Blastus, the king's chambermaid, their friend, they desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. Herod was not a good ruler. He was not a good man. He was an extremely evil person. But he was the ruler. And these people from Tyre and Sidon realized the importance of the ruler, and they realized that he is the one that controlled their country, and they came to him to make peace so that they might live in peace and in happiness. There's your first verse. Second verse is from 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. And Peter very plainly says this. He said, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent to him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of all of them that do well. It is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And then he ends these verses with these words. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Submit yourself to the authority of the king. And the third verse is Romans 13, verses 1 through 2. This is the apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying the exact same thing that Peter said, but he is also making a statement, and this is to the Gentile. He said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained to God, and whoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now these verses are very, very clear, and these apostles were very well spoken when they told us that Christians and believers are to submit to the authority of the governments of men. Submission to authority is pleasing to God, and those that do not submit, those that rebel and resist the authorities, are not pleasing unto God. Submission is very important, and he expects not only the leaders to stay within his perimeters and obey him, but he expects the followers to stay within his perimeters and obey them as well. Let's talk just a minute to kind of get our minds set for the body of the lesson this morning, and try and understand what submission is and what submission is not. Submission, according to definition, is the action or the fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person, placing yourself in subjection to something greater and bigger and higher and more important than we are, yielding to the higher power and acknowledging the authority of someone that has been placed in a position of authority above us. That is what submission to authority means. In the armed forces, a private is subject to everybody he sees. Everybody is higher than he is. Everybody is more important. And everybody can tell him what to do. He submits to the authority of every person in the entire army. A lieutenant has to submit to the captain, and the captain submits to the major, and the major submits to the colonel, and the colonel submits to the general. But there's an order here that has to be followed, and everyone is subject to those that are in power, have authority over them. Now, when a lower-ranking personnel should submit to the higher-ranking officials, there's one thing that they should not do, And they should never be commanded to do something that is wrong in the eyes of God. You know, we've had this excuse used throughout history. And I may have killed 1,000 people, but I was just doing my job. My superior told me to do it, so I did it. Doing my job. I'm not at fault. Well, you are at fault. Because if a superior tells us to do something that is definitely against the Word of God, we have the right, the opportunity, and the responsibility to stand up and say, I will obey God. And we'll talk more about that later as well. We also see this principle in the home, where the parents are the authority in the house, and the children are told to obey them and to respect this authority. Now, we all know that not all parents are good, and we know that not all parents will do the right things to their children. But the parent is still the authority figure, and the children have been told to obey the parents. Submission is something that we must do as a people to bring an order, not only to our relationships, but also to bring an order to our lives. The limits of submission tells us what submission is and what submission is not. Submission to authority means that we will honor those that are in authority over us, but we do not idolize them to make them greater or bigger than what they are. To honor our leaders is a great thing, but we must never worship these leaders or idolize these leaders. We are to appreciate them and honor them, but we're not to worship them because they are humans even as we are. Submission to authority means following the rules, not bypassing and not breaking the rules. And when we submit to the authorities that are in power above us, we follow the rules that have been set in place. And if we start breaking the rules or bypassing the rules, then we are going against the will of God. Now, even those that are in power, even the leaders and the kings and the presidents, they have no more authority to break the law than we do. And the president's son is breaking a law, just as we are breaking the law. They are subject to the exact same laws that we are. Submission to authority means respecting those in position, but not blindly following when they're wrong. Acts 5 and 29, there's a statement that said, if a man strives for mastery, he has to strive lawfully. In other words, he has to obey the rules. He has to follow the rules. He's not able to get out and do whatever he wants to. It's good to follow a leader's command, but when their commands instruct us to commit a sin against God, we don't do what he tells us to do. Turning a blind eye to a wicked leader is putting us in the same shape that he is. Submission to authority, then, and I believe this is a pretty good way to leave it, means following God above all, because he is the highest of all rules. Matthew 4:10 is very plain. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So as long as we're serving God, we can submit to the authority of man, and we're doing exactly what God told us, unless he tells us to do something that is not right. Because God's authority is always the highest. We may not like the leaders that are in charge over us. We may not appreciate the things that they do, but we always must remember, and the Bible is extremely plain on this from cover to cover, God establishes kings, God removes kings. And there is not one person that has ever been in power or will ever be in power that God did not approve and place in that position. So this is a lesson that's a little bit hard sometimes for us to understand. It kind of goes against human nature sometimes. We don't always like the things that are going on. We don't always approve of the things that are going on. But when God puts an individual in power as his authority, he tells us to submit to him. So we're going to talk about this just a little bit this morning. Maybe we'll get a little better understanding. Let's go to Heavenly Father's word for him. In a courtroom, when the judge is in complete control of the proceedings, if you've got an individual there that is being tried that begins to blurt out or scream out or yell out in even defense of themselves, even if they are wrong and the words that are being said against him are right. And if he is right and the words that are said against him are wrong, if he blurts out in that courtroom and breaks the seriousness of that courtroom, that judge is going to bang the gavel, and he's going to say, be quiet and sit down, or I'm going to find you in contempt. If that individual continues to rant and to rave, the judge is probably going to find him in contempt and send him out of the courtroom for the rest of his trial. Because you do not dishonor and disrespect the authority of a courtroom. And that's the way it should be. That should be places of solemnness, and it ought to be places where we honor the laws of a country. There's a lot of people living in God's courtroom today that by their refusal to surrender to the authority of God and to the authorities, they are breaking His divine order. And this is divine order that God has established, that all men, rulers and citizens, rich and poor, all citizens are to live within the perimeters which God has designed and allowed. And if someone steps outside of these perimeters, then he has gone against the will of God. The order is very clear in the Bible that let every soul be subject to governing authorities. And I think this is the excellent time to hit this one more time. That just doesn't include us peons on the bottom. That includes the leaders at the very top that make the rules. They are just as obligated to follow the perimeters of God and do what God has allowed them in His authority as we are and the ones that have to live under them. The issue is not whether the authorities are right or wrong, but the issue is what the God, the King, has said it will be. In Romans 13:2, it said, "Whoever resisteth the power resisteth the order of God, the ordinance of God, and they that thou resist shall receive to themselves damnation." That means that there's a law made. God said, submit to authority. And if you don't, if you resist, then there's going to be a condemnation. There's going to be a consequence to those that do not follow this law that God has made that we submit. It doesn't make any difference what political party we belong to or if we belong to a political party at all. And it doesn't make one bit of difference who we vote for or if we vote at all. We need to remember one thing about our government and the authorities over us. There's only one God that sits upon one throne in heaven. And this one God is in control and authority of every other authority that the world has ever known. President of the United States may be a pretty big boy in his eyes, but he's still under the authority of God. Because God is the one that put him there. And he has the authority to put him there, and he has the authority to take him out of there. God has all supreme authority. He is in control of our country. He is in control of our government. He is in control of our world. He is in charge of each and every governing authority that has ever been. You know, Daniel, in his writing, made it known that God establishes kings and God tears down kings. And for an example of this, Daniel talked about something he was very familiar with, and this was old King Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire. Now remember, the Jews had gone far south of what they were supposed to do in God's will. They were not obeying God. And so God warned them, and he warned them, and he warned them about their disobedience, and he finally decided I'm going to have to punish them. So he chose Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king of the Babylon Empire, which was the greatest power in the world at that time. Supreme power, undisputed power, the Babylonian Empire. And God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to go into Israel and overwhelm these people, to defeat these people, to destroy Jerusalem, and then bring the children of Israel back into Babylon in captivity. I think it had lasted for some 70 years. But you know, Nebuchadnezzar got thinking a little bigger, a little more of himself than what he actually should have. And although God used him to subject the Israelites to a punishment for their disobedience, it didn't take long to realize that Nebuchadnezzar had far, far exceeded the perimeters and the boundaries which God had set for him in the Babylonians. And Daniel said, "I've got a vision. I'm having a vision right now." He said, "This may be the most powerful kingdom in the world, and God may be behind them in the things that they do, but," he said, "this kingdom will fall because of their disobedience." And Babylon did fall. It fell when the Medes and Persians came in, and they destroyed the Babylonian Empire, and they took it over. And they never have been anywhere near as to what they were at this time, and they never will be. Because God put Nebuchadnezzar in a job. Nebuchadnezzar overstepped his bounds, and Nebuchadnezzar went down, and he admitted it. He admitted that what he had done was wrong. He confessed that God was God. It's a clear command in more than one place in the Bible. Romans 13, the very first verse of Romans 13 said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no authority except that authority from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." God is in charge, 100% complete, total charge. He knows what he's doing. He knows what we're doing. He knows what his leaders are doing. He knows what governments are doing. And he's got a point there that when it goes too far, he's going to stop it, and he's going to correct it. The kingdoms of the world belong to Satan. We know that. And we know that there's injustice in every form of, well, government, business. There's always going to be some injustice. There's always going to be some corruption. There's corruptions in all of them, including ours. There's a lot of evil. But God is still in control. History gives us account after account after account of how governments have flourished, and then because of their sin and their corruption and their lawlessness, they have been brought to rubble. This was not only the kingdoms of the world, but this was also God's own kingdom from the Jews. He brought them down. When they began to disobey and became so corrupt and evil with lawlessness, God brought them down because God is in control. He has the authority to set kings up, and he has the authority to take kings down. God will bring a government to an end. He can bring our government to an end. And if we don't change some things about the way our government lives and the disobedience that we are doing with God, we may be on that path right now, because God rules over his earth. He has not vacated his throne. That's why Peter said, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king is supreme or governors." This is a second layer of authority. "Unto them that are sent by them to the punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do good." Authority refers to the prerogative that governments are given to rule over and to govern us. It is to do with the right to regulate and to control the activities of some individuals or all individuals, depending on the pinnacle of power that the government is in. Second point we need to understand and accept very well is that all authorities are appointed by God. I can't say this enough. We worry about the world. We worry about our country. We worry about the way things are going. We see the corruptness and the evil. We see the left-handedness that we're having in our government. All governments are appointed and put in place by God. The Bible tells us that from the very foundation of the world that God had a plan for us, had a plan for his people. The Bible tells us that before we were formed in our mother's womb, that we were known to God. He knows who we are. And he had a plan that would keep us in line and allow us to live happily, peacefully, and in authority with his will. But to make this happen, he had to put certain leaders in power over us, in office, that would accomplish this will. If we do not have the authority of governments that control us, then we have anarchy. And that's where every man does what he wants to do. Every man is a law unto himself. It doesn't work. It never has worked. It never will work. Anarchy is not the right situation to control man. And God realized this. And so he made us, and he put us on this earth, and then he set authorities, governments up over us that would rule us and guard us and protect us and punish us when we do wrong. He knew then that leaders would be corrupt. He knew that leaders would be evil. But he also knew that he would be able to handle it, and he would be able to take care of these leaders in his own time. We may not like the individual that is in power over us, but we've got to respect the office. You know, that's what they used to tell us when I had my enjoyable time in Uncle Sam's service. He said, "You don't have to like that guy wearing the bars, but you better respect the position that those bars represent. You don't have to like the person, but you better like the position." And that's exactly the way it is in government. We may not always like it, but you better respect it because he's there by the authority of God. We trust in God. We trust that he will do what is right for us, and he will do what is right for his people. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We have absolutely no idea what God is thinking. We have no idea what God is doing. We don't know how he's taking care of the problems. We don't know why he has appointed those he's appointed. But with blind faith, we need to realize that God is on his throne. He is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. And all we have to do is just sit back and let him work. It may be a little hard to trust like that, but that's what faith is. And when we don't know what the plan of God is, then maybe we don't need to be going against God. Maybe we need to submit to his authority. I've got an example here from Isaiah. This is from the 6th chapter. Isaiah and his prophecy. He sees visions of Uzziah, the king of Judah that has died. Uzziah, I think he reigned some, if my memory is correct, is 50-something years. Uzziah was a great king. He was a good king. He was loved. He was respected. He did what God told him to do. He stayed with the ordinances of God. The country prospered. The country was peaceful. It was a great time under King Uzziah. But Uzziah died. And when Uzziah died, then they had to replace Uzziah with another king. And I don't think they ever had another good one. And Isaiah saw this. And in his mind, as he sees his vision, he's so worried because Uzziah has died and he was such a good king and everything was so good. And now he's dead. And he's not there to take care of things and to run this country as he has done. And Isaiah, in his despondency, goes into the temple. And what does he see when he gets into the temple? He sees God sitting upon his throne. And Isaiah realizes immediately, yes, Uzziah is dead. He's a human. He's gone. His powers are over. He was a good king, but he's dead. But God's not dead. God still sits up on his throne. God is not abdicated. God has not died. God is still very much alive, and he's in control of things just as he was when Uzziah was the king. And so the thought that we get here and the teaching that we get here, as a Christian, as a believer, we are to have that allegiance to the throne of God and to the authority of God. And really, these relationships on earth all follow under his command. If you go up against earthly authorities, you go up against God. That's a very plain fact. Our world is in chaos now. And in the last couple of, maybe the last 20 or 10 or 12, 2, 10, 12, we have seen our world take a turn that has not been for the best. I feel it. I worry about it. I wake up at night thinking about it. It's not the world I grew up in. It has taken some turns. And when we see this and we realize that the world is taking a turn for the worse, should we put ourselves in a position to stand up against God? Or should we take the position that really the things we do and we say, maybe we ought to strive harder to be on the side of God than be on the side of the world that is going down. There's examples all through the Bible where people went against the will of God and it paid for it because there were consequences. And in our world today, lawlessness abounds. You don't have to read a paper or listen to radio or television very long to see what lawlessness is doing to our country today. And the believer's got to oppose that because it's wrong. It's against the will of God. But we better not be a part of it. Even when it's our own government, we better not be a part of it when it's wrong and the evil and the corruption is taking hold. Government was created by God back in Genesis 9 and 6. The Bible says that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. This is what God is saying here back in Genesis 9 and 6. If I kill an individual, then the government and the authorities and the power of the government will take my life for the life I took. In other words, there's a penalty for breaking the laws of man. There is a penalty for breaking the laws of God. So when God designed this government, he wanted somebody in authority that would take his laws, and if someone broke it, they would be penalized and pay the consequences. If you disobey the civil authorities, God gave these civil authorities the power to punish. So not only are you disobedient to God, but you're also disobedient to the civil authorities. And to those that Paul says, the ones that bear the sword. There is a consequence to our actions. Romans 13:4 said, for he, this he points to the governing authorities, he is the minister of God for good. There is a use and there is a reason for supreme authorities. They are for God for good. If you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. But he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know, this verse pretty well sums it all up. The he refers to governing authority. They were placed here to guide us. They were placed here to guard us. They were placed here to give us rules to follow. But they're also given, were also put here by God to punish those that disobey the laws of the land and those being the laws of God. To keep us in line. And if we do evil and we break the law, Paul said you better be afraid because there is a sword out there that will revenge. He's going to be a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God is not going to stand in the way of our punishment if we do wrong and the civil authorities punish us, with one exception. One exception. We already talked about this a little bit. Obey God first. When somebody asks you to do something that is against the will of God, the will of God, or the Word of God, you're responsible for what you do. This old excuse that it's just doing my job is not going to work. Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, they were convicted to do what God had told them to do. And although man was beating them and throwing them in prison and telling them not to preach Jesus Christ, they said, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to obey God and not men. Back in my early childhood in the 50s and in the 60s, we had a Ten Commandments in our schoolrooms. And every morning before we started class in each homeroom, we would always say the Pledge of Allegiance and there would always be a prayer. It was just the way we did things. And it was expected. I mean, it was just the way things were done. And then we had the liberal forces come in and they said we need to get prayer out of our schools. And a weak Congress allowed this to happen. So prayer was taken out of our schools. Then prayer was taken out of our government. Prayer was taken out of football games. Prayer was taken out of every public opportunity that you can have. And when God was told he was not wanted, God left. And now we're living in a situation where God has been kicked out of just about everything we do. And I believe we're beginning to see the results of the actions that we make. What if Christians and believers back in the 60s, when they said we're going to take prayer out of schools, what if they had stood up in mass, and the vast majority of them back then believed in God and prayer? What if happened if they would have stood up and said, no, we're not going to do this? Would it have been a different situation if they had put the pressure on Congress to not pass these silly laws? I happen to think it wouldn't be different. And now we've got all this transgender and these deviant sexual things that they're pushing and shoving. This is a very, very small minority of people that are pushing this, but yet the whole country's having to deal with it. It's wrong. God, we're doing things that are an abomination to God, and he's very plain with it in his scriptures. There are times that we know when our leaders are doing something that is wrong and it's frustrating. But sometimes we just don't know what to do. And how can we do anything about it? We're told to submit to and allow God to make the corrections, to avenge the wrongs. He knows what's happening and he knows what to do to prevent it. Keep that in mind. He knows what's going on. Let's wrap this all up now. Christianity was not designed to become a movement to improve government, to help society, or to clean up the towns. The gospel that was written was the power of God unto the salvation of the individual. When Paul was thrown in these Roman prisons, and thrown in them he was, he didn't complain about the conditions of these terrible prisons. And in the Roman government at this time, it was corrupt from the very top to the bottom. It was evil. Thankfully, if you'll go back in history and look, when our founding fathers got together and wrote the Declaration of Independence and wrote our Constitution, these were men with a biblical background, and they believed in God. And if you'll look in our government, it was set up under the perimeters of God's will. That's the way our country was designed. And our forefathers believed in God. They believed in the authority of God. So what do we do to get back to where we were in that situation? What can we do as we submit to the authority of the governments, but yet also stand up and are able to do something about it? Well, the Bible tells us what we can do. The Bible tells us exactly what we can do. The Bible says to pray for our country. Don't ever minimize the power of prayer. The Bible says we are to pray for our country. We are to pray for our leaders. Even if we don't like them and don't agree with them, pray for our leaders. We are to obey the laws of our country. And we are to preach a gospel unto the power of God, unto salvation, to any and all that will listen. And hopefully we can bring people like our founding fathers back into power, those that signed the Declaration of Independence and believed in God. If we can get these people back in our office, then our laws are going to change. And our attitudes are going to change. And God will not be forced to punish us for the things that we do as a country. I love our republic. As it has been said, it's the very worst form of government the world has ever known, except for all of the other forms of government. I think the republic system that we have, it was an experiment that worked. It's a great form of government. I'm very proud of it. Nothing is wrong with our form of government. Some of the people that have been in a position of power are wrong with our government, and they have gone against the foundings of the teaching. Instead of rebelling, though, Paul says we are to submit. 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to the young preacher, 2:1-3. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all of those that are in authority. Reason, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Christians are commanded to pray, but to submit unless it is against the will of God. We don't have to agree with the politicians. We don't have to agree with their policies. We don't have to like them. We don't have to vote for them. But we have to submit our authority to the government. And we haven't got it so bad here. You know, I'm thinking about the time that Paul wrote these words to Timothy. Do you realize the time in history that Paul wrote these words to Timothy when he said, exhort with prayers and intercession for all of those in the government? He was living in Rome in prison under Nero. Nero's the worst individual that has ever lived. He killed Christians and burned them for lying in his backyard just for the joy of seeing them die. He was a terrible, terrible corrupt man. And yet what does Paul say to Timothy? Pray for your leaders. Pray for them. Paul wrote all of this about submitting to authority during the time of Nero's reign. And I think it is the duty of believers, because God knows who these governments are. He knows what they're doing, and he knows how to take care of it. God put these people in authority. He keeps them in authority. And when he's ready, he removes them. Our role as Christians and believers, same thing it's always been. Fear God and keep his commandments. Let's have a song of meditation. If we can help anyone, we ask you to come forward as we sing.